July the 29th at 6 p.m., we will be having a meeting to finalize all the details for the Family Fun Day, which will be Saturday, the 15th of August, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. A little bit later on in the service, we will be sending around the clipboards for individuals to sign up to be a part of that, so that we can really reach out into the community and minister with the gospel of Christ Jesus, our Lord. If you would, please bow your heads and your hearts as we go before our Christ, our King, in this time of praise and worship. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bless you this morning. We praise you, O God, for you truly are good. You and you alone are good. O Christ, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity. We bless you for this privilege and this honor that we have been given today to sing praises unto you, to truly worship your holy name. And so, Father, we commit this service into your care. We invite you to impact our hearts and open our minds and change our lives all for your glory. And oh, Jesus, may your spirit abound more and more, and may you truly, truly be blessed and glorified as we truly worship you and praise you. May we bless you now. In the wonderful name of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen.
As we bow our heads, Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for what you're going to do for us, Lord. Allow us to not put anything before you. Allow us to always put you first in all things, Father, because blessed be your name, Father. We want to just remember that you've done so much for us. Allow us to do so much for you. Lord, we ask a special blessing over this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have so much to give the Lord praise for. As we bow our heads, Lord, thank you for what you've done, Lord, for how great you are, how wonderful you are. What a wonderful thing you did for us, dying on that cross so we may have this future that you want us to have. We have no past but a wonderful future. Let us put everything to you, Lord, every single thing, Lord. Don't carry anything with us. But allow us not to have anything before you either, Lord. Father, we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand has made, I see the stars to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou.
Thank you. As we bow our heads, Lord, and we come before you, we thank you for how great you are. As we heard the amen, it's so wonderful, Lord, to know how great you are and what you're doing for us and what you're going to do for us, Lord. Allow us to examine our hearts and make sure we have nothing before you, Lord, that we just seek you, that we put you first in all things. We learn to rely on you. We learn to totally trust in you and have faith and step out. Let us not worry about our past, but worry about our future, and just know that we have a bright, bright future. Lord, we thank you for all things you're doing and what you're going to do in this church. And over the service, we ask a special blessing. In all things, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. This is a reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 22. You can follow along with me on in your pew Bibles on page 31. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. This is the word of God.
You know, sometimes we all have to just stop and remember and think that, you know, God can use us in so many different ways and in so many different avenues that we would never dream possible. And what this song is about is just letting God know that, you know, God used a burning bush to talk to Moses. He used a donkey to talk to Balaam. God used so many different objects that didn't have a soul, that didn't have a cognitive ability to understand and to think or to feel or to understand. Yet God took those objects and he used them for his glory. So what more could he do in us that love him, that have the ability to talk to him and to reason and understand to him? So my challenge to you this morning is just to go ahead and open yourself up and just to let God use you in whatever capacity that he chooses to. No matter how small you think it is to you or to somebody else, it's great in the kingdom of God.
Amen. You may be seated. We're going to send around the clipboards, and this is for the Family Fun Day on August the 15th. And rest assured that this will be focused upon sharing the gospel to the community. And so as those clipboards go around, we are in need of several individuals to fill certain positions, whether it's working a game or doing face painting or different things of that nature. So you can look at the clipboards, and as God's Spirit leads you, you can get involved. It is good to be back with you today. During my time away, I have to share with you that God was impressing upon my heart the essential nature of worship. And friends, worship, sometimes in our culture in America, we think of what we can come and get from God. And so we are even told that many different times. We're told, come expecting, come and receive something from God. But friends, worship is not that. Worship ought to be coming for you and me and giving something to God. Another misnomer that sometimes in our culture we hear, we think of worship and then we think of the music. And friends, it's not that at all. The music is praising God. The music is singing to God. The music is giving the acclamation and the adulation that only God deserves. And so today we're going to look at an individual who was given a charge by God. At the tender age of 75, he was given this charge to go. And to go to a place that he didn't know, to go to a land that he didn't even see, to go somewhere, and the only thing that he had to go on was the very word of God. We're going to see the supreme devotion that this man, Abram, had. And we're going to understand that it's not just a one-time deal. We're going to see that it's a lifetime of many small choices that are made up into the whole that begins to create that life of worship. I'll turn your attention into your bulletin to the side that says sermon notes. And you'll notice with me the acronym WORTHY. And friends, the word worship is made up of two words. It's made up of worth and ship. And you know, friends, the only individual, the only one that is worthy, is worth anything, is God and God himself. And so that's why we come. That's why we come to church. We don't come expecting. We come expecting to give. And my challenge for all of us today is some of us will relate to Isaac. Others of us will relate to Abraham. But we will all relate in some way, some fashion, in this devotion account of God's servant, Abram. Abram began in chapter 12 of Genesis You know, and he was commissioned by God. He was given a promise by God. He was promised that God would make him into a father of all nations. And then you'll see throughout the Genesis account that his name was changed from Abram to Abraham. And he was Abram, which means exalted father, and Abraham, which means father of many nations. And it was after that promise, after that covenant that God gave to him, that he continued to pursue God. Abram and his wife Sarah, they had no children. And so God gave him the promise of the heir of the covenant to become the father of many nations. And it was in this heir that yet at the tender age of 75, that it wasn't until he was 100 years old. Let that sink in. Sometimes we read scripture and we withdraw it from the context and we don't see the time, the years, the pain, the anguish, the struggle, the toil that went into that 25-year period. I envision Abraham wrestling with God, saying, Lord, you promised, you said you would do this. You gave me your covenant, and you said you're going to fulfill it, and yet I don't see where it's coming to fruition. I don't see where it's coming to pass. And then we come, and we are tempted to do exactly what Abraham did, take matters into our own hands and do things in our own power, our own strength. And if you read the Genesis account, thereabouts in chapter 18, 17, 18, you'll see where Sarah, she got tired of waiting, and Abraham got tired of waiting, and Hagar went in, and Abraham had a son in his own power, his own strength, his own ability, stepped outside of the will of God and said, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to make it happen. You see, friends, worship is about a life. It's about your life and my life. Worship is not about a place or a time. Worship is not about something that we do. It's about who we are. John MacArthur says it this way, and he says, when the church worships right, everything else in the church goes well. But when the church fails to worship right, everything else, all the ministries, everything else in the church, it suffers. This is why it's so vital that we understand this. We're going to embark on a series over the next several weeks, and it's going to be titled A Life of Worship. If I could do anything for anyone, any one believer, it would be this: to stop individuals from seeing that worship is what we do here on Sunday morning at 10:30, and to allow people to grasp that worship is what we do Sunday through Saturday. Worship is who we are. It's how we engage the people of our culture. It's how we drive our cars. It's how we pay our bills. It's how we speak to the neighbor. Worship is about loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and it's about loving people as we love ourselves. So friends, worship. Worship is essential. It's vital. It's incredibly important. And it's not about the songs we sing. It's not about the traditional style or the contemporary style. What it's about God and God alone. It's about the living Lord Jesus, who is the only one who is worthy to be worshiped. That's worship, my friends. So if you have your Bibles, if you don't, turn into pew Bibles, and I just want to revisit this account. As I mentioned, Abram, or Abraham, as he became to be known, was 75 years old. And then he was 100 years old when Isaac was born. So you have 25 years wrapped up into this, into the receiving of the promise of God that he would become the father of many nations. Looking at chapter 22, verse 1. And I want you to think of what is going through Abraham's mind when he receives these dreadful words from the living Lord. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And Abraham said, Here I am. Then the Lord said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Imagine 25 years of waiting, You finally receive the heir of your promise that God has given to you, and the temptation to clutch that promise with a closed fist is ever present in every fabric and every fiber of your being, of saying, I'm not going to let this thing go. And then yet God does the unthinkable, and he commands the unimaginable, and he says, go, take that promise. Go, take what I have given to you and give it back to me. You see, worship is a matter of our heart. Worship has to start from the core of our being, and it has to spring forth and well up inside and outside of us. You see, if Abraham didn't have the 25 years of walking with God, and in a few moments we're going to see it was a lot more than 25 years. You see, Josephus, the church historian, sometimes we think of Isaac as being an 8, 9, 10-year-old young man. No, Josephus says he was probably 25 years old. Oh, puts a different spin on things. The Jewish commentaries on the book of Genesis, many of the rabbis, they place Isaac as being 37. So anywhere from 25 years old to 37 years old, and now not only do we have 25 years wrapped up in this thing, but we got another 25 years of Abraham living, laughing, eating, enjoying life, going and doing work with his son. A minimum of 50 years. And God says, go. You see, worship, it has to be a matter of your heart and mind. It has to be from the core of your being and my being. It has to be from the depth of who you are and who God has made you into being. And it has to well up from the inside of us and spring forth and be pouring forth heavenward to the only one who is worthy. And yet we see Abraham doesn't even flinch. And he says, okay. So Abraham rose early in the morning, verse 3, and he saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. You see, friends, when we truly worship God, our hearts will always be put on display by the actions that we commit. When we fail to worship God, our hearts will be put on display for the lack of the action that we fail to commit. Jesus said it this way. He said, the overflow of the heart comes out the mouth. I'll take it a step further and say, the overflow of a life of worship comes out in the actions of who you and I are. The actions of how we engage people, the actions of how we treat others, the actions of how we present ourselves to God. And yes, it's about you and me presenting ourselves to God. Imagine a 37-year-old man, and then you have a 100-plus-year-old man. Now tell me, who's going to win that struggle? It's not going to be Abraham. And so in this whole account, you have Isaac, who is placing his hands and his feet to his father and saying, here, take me, bind me. It's not about me, it's about you. Now, in this entire account, there's a sense of a foreshadowing. The Gospel of Matthew, he traces the genealogy of Jesus all the way back to Abraham. And so we have this foreshadowing of the crucifixion of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. Abraham and Isaac and the servants, they traveled for 3 days. Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days. When Abraham was leaving the land of the Ur, the Chaldeans, they practiced child sacrifices. And because of that, I truly believe that God was telling Abraham, I am not going to do the same thing that your pagan gods ask you to do. Nor will I ever ask you to do something that I myself am not willing to do. And so this whole foreshadowing of the coming Christ, the coming Messiah, and yet Abraham, he understands, he says that he and his actions are worshiping. The third thing that we can notice is reacting wrongly to God's perceived inactivity will hinder our worship. We talked about this a few moments ago with the account with Hagar. The temptation that we have to take things into our own hands, into our own strength, it will always hinder our worship. And friends, Abraham, I believe that he understood he made a mistake. I don't think that he was going to be making the same mistake twice. And that's why he willfully went. God said, go, do this. And Abraham said, I will go. I will do this. I will follow you. He messed up once and he failed once. And he understood that when he perceived God's inactivity as being not coming to fruition of what has been promised. And there's some of us here that have been waiting on God's fulfillment of his promise to you and to me for a long time. The only thing I can tell you is this. Don't take things into your own hands. Don't take things into your own strength. Be patient. Because God is never too late. He's never too early. He's always right on time. And when we perceive God as being inactive and we walk outside and seek to bring fulfillment to what God has given to you as a promise, what God has given to you as he will bring something to pass, do not walk away and seek to bring whatever it is to fruition. Wait on God. Trust on God. Believe in God. Rely on the faithfulness of the living Creator, our Heavenly Lord, and stay in his will. And so, friends, we can see that reacting wrongly to God's perceived inactivity will always hinder our worship. The fourth thing that we can see is trusting in ourselves will hinder our worship. You see, throughout this entire account, Abraham, he was trusting in God. And Hebrews, we're told in chapter 11 that he believed that even if he would slay Isaac, that God would raise him from the dead. And he was saying in his mind at that time, now I believe, 3 days travel, Sarah had no knowledge of what was about to go down. Could you imagine the tension, the interaction between Isaac and Abraham? Isaac's even inquisitive about, hey, well, I see the wood, I see the fire, but where's the sacrifice, Father? Dad, where's this at? Abraham says, God will provide. Could you imagine the tension? What am I going to tell my wife? What am I going to tell those that are with me as servants? How am I going to deal with this? And yet, you see, it's relying and trusting and always seeking and trusting in God and not in ourselves. Abraham, very well, he was a very wealthy man. He had many flocks, he had many sheep, many different animals. He could have taken one and said, look, I'm going to take this matter and I'm not even going to even consider this. I will take a ram and offer a sacrifice. But notice one thing, Abraham never called it a sacrifice. He said, me and the lad will go and we will worship. You see, his heart, truly worshiping God, in his mind, in his soul, he was saying, me and Isaac, we are going and we are going to present something to God. And that is worship, friends. It's not going to the land of Moriah and expecting God to give something to him. You see, trusting in our own strength, it will always, always hinder our worship. We must rely on the faithfulness of God. The fifth thing that we can see from this text is holding on to God's blessings will hinder our worship. And yes, you read that right. You see, God gives and he takes away. We sang the song earlier, and God gives and he can take away. You can read the book of Job and you can see that. God is sovereign. He's above everything. And when we hold on to God's blessings with a closed fist, guess what, friends? No more of God can get in our life. And sadly, what often happens is we lose what we're clinging to. But when we hold the blessings of God with an open hand, we say, Lord, they're from you. They are yours anyway. And we are willing to give them back to you. See, Abraham, willing to plunge a knife. This was no small knife, by the way. The Hebrew word, it means a large butcher knife. So can you imagine this? The word bound in the original text, it means to literally take the bent legs of an animal and to bind the front and the rear legs together. So if you can imagine this scenario, the scenario of the unthinkable, the scenario of the absolutely horrifying thing that God was asking him to do. Some of us here, we need to place ourselves on that altar. Some of us here, We need to give back God his promises and say, they're yours, Lord. You gave them to me, but yet I've held on to them. I've held them and withheld them from you. And we need to give them back to God and say, they're yours. Take them, use them. It's not mine anyway. Others of us here, we need to rely on God's faithfulness and understand that God will never leave. He will never forsake. He will always be with you and me through the thick and the thin. We need to understand these three facts. All of us will find ourselves in one of three points in this text. Either we're going to align ourselves with Isaac and say, I need to place myself on the altar because, friends, that's exactly what God wants. He wants your heart. He wants your life. He wants your very being. He wants you to worship God from the essence of the core of who you are. Others of us will be hanging on to the promises of God so tightly that we're unwilling to relinquish them. And God wants you to give them back to him and say, they're his. They're yours, oh Lord. Take them, use them. And I'm going to tell you something. And this comes from experience. Many times, not all, many times when we give back to God what he has given to us, just like the text, just like Job. You know what happened with Job? He received everything and more. You know what happened with Abraham and Isaac? He received his son back. You see, friends, there are times God will test your faith and mine. But we must rely on the faithfulness of God. And there's lastly those of us who are doubting that God said something and we truly don't want to stand on what God said. One of those three points you will find yourself in this morning. So we can't hold on to God's blessings, otherwise our worship will be hindered. Our hearts must be consumed with the one who blesses and not the blessings themselves. And the last thing that we can see is this. Your life will reveal what captivates your heart. And I'm going to say that again. Your life will reveal what captivates your heart. And many times in our Americanized Christianity, what captivates our heart is self. It's selfishness. We want things the way that we want it, and we want it a certain way, and we want it when we want it, on the time and on the day and on the place that we want it. And God says, no. Your life, my life, will always reveal what captivates your heart. And friends, God wants to captivate your heart. He wants to captivate my heart. And he says, look, maybe you're here today and you find yourself that I have been holding back from the Lord in my own life. I've been giving him an hour each week and I haven't been giving him devotional time or prayer time or even speaking about the words of the gospel of grace throughout the week to others. Maybe he's saying, place yourself on that altar. Say, Lord, here I am. Take me, use me, make me usable. He says that to me many days. You might be here hanging on to something that God gave to you years ago. And you might be holding on to that like Abraham. 50 years of enjoying the life of his son, the son of a promise, the son, the heir of the promise, that he would become the father of many nations. You might be hanging on to that with both fists, saying, I'm not going to relinquish that. I'm not going to give it back. I will not. And what God wants you to do is he wants you to give it back because it's his anyway. You might be here doubting that what God said is true, and you might be questioning the goodness of God and asking, Lord, where are you? I've waited for all these years, all this time, and yet you are silent. Why, oh Lord? And asking that question, and you might need to deal with the fact of the temptation in your life to not rely on God's faithfulness. This morning, I challenge all of us. If it's you, place yourself on that altar. Say, Lord, here I am. Change my heart. Captivate my heart. If you're hanging on to his promise, give it back. If you're doubting the goodness and the faithfulness of God, say, Lord, I want to fully rely upon you. So as we close in prayer, I'm going to give you all a couple moments, just silently, to meet with the living Lord, to meet with him, and to say, Lord, this is where I'm at. I don't want to know. I don't need to know. This is between you and the risen Christ. This is between you and the Heavenly Father, the good God, the only one that is good. This is between you and Him alone, not me, not anyone else. And so as we pray, I'm going to give us all a few moments to meet with the Lord and to rectify, to correct, to deal with those areas that are hanging us up and causing us to hold back and to not really realize the true fullness of what God has for you and for me. And friends, that fullness is in one word, that's in worship. And it's not a day or a time. It's not Sunday morning, Saturday night. It's not Wednesday evening Bible study. Worship is a life. And so let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your servant Abraham. We thank you for what we can learn from this biblical account and what we can see in the struggles that he undoubtedly had. Father, we thank you for his obedience. We thank you for Isaac's obedience. We thank you, precious Father, that he was found faithful and he relied on your faithfulness, and yet he wasn't without mistake, and Jesus, we are not either. Forgive us, O Christ, for the times that we've failed to rely on your faithfulness. Forgive us, O Lord, for the times that we've held part of our life back from you. Forgive us, O Lord, for the times we've held on to the fulfilled promises that you've blessed us with too tightly. So, Father, silently, we meet with you in our hearts, and we just meet with you now. Deal with us with your goodness and your grace during the next few moments, O Lord. Oh, Heavenly Jesus, we thank you that you and you alone are faithful. You and you alone are worthy. You and you alone are the one who is to be esteemed above everyone else. Oh, gracious God, coming King, living Lord, precious Savior, forgive us where we've fallen short. Forgive us for falling into the trap of our own humanity, of our own flesh, of our own desires. And Father, may we see clearly what it is you desire for us. And that's to live lives of a life of worshiping you. Beyond this place, beyond this building, beyond this time, beyond this day. Oh Lord, may you receive that worship. May it be a welling up in the core of our being. May it flood outward to others and upward unto your very presence. Forgive us when we've held back a portion of our lives and said, no, this is my place, this is mine, this is my time. And Lord, may you forgive us for that. And forgive us when we have taken things into our own strength to fulfill the very promises you've blessed us with. Forgive us for not offering up those fulfilled promises back to you. And Father, forgive us for not fully relying on your faithfulness, for you are good, O Christ. May this be the beginning of something wonderful, of something truly amazing. May it begin the time and the life of worshiping you far beyond this time. But may it be a mark in the etching of our life where we say, this is where I commit to you, O God, as my life being a fragrant offering, a life of worship unto you, the only living Lord that is worthy. And, O Christ, we thank you and we bless you now in the holy and the gracious name of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. Let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich. Let the blind say I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. To the river I will wade. There my sins are washed away. From the heavens mercy streams of the Savior's love for me. Jesus Christ has set me free. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again.
Before we close, I would like to sing that song one more time, if that's okay. And basically, just remember this, that in the midst of that struggle, God met Abraham, he met Isaac, and he provided the supreme sacrifice. And friends, the Lamb that was slain for you and for me, Jesus Christ, the one who is seated at the right hand of the glory of God the Father, he is there to meet you and to meet me in the struggles of whether we are hanging on to God's promises, or if we're failing and struggling with giving more of our life to God, or if we're struggling with relying on his faithfulness. Know this, the risen Christ, the one who was to come, that the ram foreshadowed too in the story, the account of Abraham and Isaac. He stands ready and willing to meet you and to meet me this day. Let's sing that song one more time. And don't allow yourself to go out of this building if you're holding something back. Give it to God. Meet with him as we sing this song.
Let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich. Let the blind say I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Let the weak say I can see. to the river I will wade. There my sins are washed away from the heaven's mercy stream of the Savior's love for me. Jesus Christ has set me free. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again.
As we close this morning, now to the one who is great and exceedingly abundant in love for you and in peace for your soul, may he truly be found worthy in your life, and may your life radiate a life of worship unto him, the King of Kings and the Lamb of God, who was slain and sacrificed for you and for me. May the peace of Christ rest on you and dwell in your soul. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.